The title of today's lesson is Following the Whole Plan. I was very impressed with the creativity of this post. Lisa said it would probably scare the children, so this will be the only time you have to see this. But basically what you'll see is a person's face and puzzle pieces being broke off. My in-laws like to go do yard sales every Saturday. Rain or shine, it's yard sales. And on Saturday, Lisa will call her mother. You find anything good today? Some days it's yes, some days it's no's. Some days we got a new king-size bed and a chest of drawers to go with it. So it's sink or swim when it comes to yard sales. But the beauty of yard sales is very rarely is somebody going to just go and sell their trash. We don't see that happen. And if they do, we don't go back to their yard sale. But a thing that's often sold is as kids grow up, the parents will sell something that belonged to the kids. And a lot of times you'll see puzzles. See puzzles in a lot of places. You'll see different types of puzzles. Puzzles of ice cream, the world, Mount Everest, different types of things. You'll have puzzles. And what is your expectation when you buy one of these puzzles? Is that you're going to open it up, pour all of the pieces on the dining room table or floor or wherever you do puzzles, and you want to put the puzzle together. Find the four corners first. That's the rule. Write that down, kids. We're going to do a puzzle, and what is something we don't enjoy about a puzzle? Pieces missing. When we have a piece that is missing from the puzzle, do we think, wow, I've got a complete puzzle? No. No, we don't. We think, why did I buy a puzzle from a yard sale? That's right. There is a potential that that was going to happen, but we don't have a complete puzzle. There are pieces that are missing. And while the four corners might be there, while other important parts of the puzzle might be there, missing pieces makes the puzzle not complete. Doing part of a plan makes us no different than denominations. Just because we preach baptism for the remission of sins, just because we preach partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week because the Bible says to. Just because we sing a cappella without the aid of mechanical instruments of music because the Bible doesn't authorize it. Just because we have a plurality of elders because that's what the Bible tells us to do pertaining to leadership. Doesn't mean that we're right with God if we miss pieces of the puzzle. We can talk, and you've heard from the pulpit about different things in our classes, different places and things that our denominational friends do that make them not follow the pattern. We've got to be careful. Because if we're missing pieces, no matter how many we have right, if we're not doing something that we as Christians should be doing, we are no different than those who aren't obedient to the pattern because we're one and the same. So we have to consider that. If we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together, we're not a complete puzzle. And just as we aren't pleased with the result of not having all the pieces, God isn't pleased either. We don't have a hard plan to follow when it comes to what God expects from us. We can know what we need to do. It's all just a matter of doing it. Getting out of our comfort zone, doing things that we may not be comfortable with. I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy getting out of your comfort zone a lot more than the fiery pits of hell. We need to be a people who are ready and who are active to not only preach baptism for remission of sins because that's what the Bible says, but also a people who are ready to work and to evangelize because that's what the Bible tells us to do also. We look to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. As Paul, seeing the end of his life, writes to Timothy. Now I want you to imagine that you are Timothy, or if you are a woman, Timothina, And what I want you to do is think your mentor in the faith that is on death's doorstep, that realizes their time on earth isn't much and they're going to share with you the most important things that they can. How are you going to respond to your mentor's letter? Are you going to take care of it? Reference it often in times of trial. In times of question, find what your mentor would have said. That is a very similar instance what we're finding here. Except Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what he did, and it's beneficial for us. And what he wrote to Timothy in the first chapter of the second epistle, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Follow the pattern. Not follow a pattern. Not follow part of the pattern. Follow the pattern. And if we were to take a liberal mindset, we would say, well, God couldn't possibly expect us to be obedient to everything He has asked us to do. There's no way that we could read the New Testament and understand what God would expect from us and try to use the word grace in an improper way to cover sins of omission that we should easily be able to understand, that we should be able to do. And if God is going to forgive our missing puzzle pieces, why not our denominational friends who are missing pieces of their own? That's the path to liberalism. When we understand that we stand before God on the day of judgment, we will be judged by the Word, by the pattern. We need to be students of the Word, ready to do what we are called to do. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, a similar sentiment we find. He must hold firm to the trustworthy Word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. What we find are multiple points here. Hold firm to the trustworthy Word. There's a standard that was set. To give instruction in sound doctrine. There is sound doctrine. But when we see rebuke those who contradict it, what we end up finding is there is a way to be wrong. Our denominational friends don't like to think that everybody should be okay. Have a happy thought. Do whatever they say to become Christians. But we have to hold to the Bible pattern. If there is something in our life that we're not meeting up with, we need to be rebuked so that we can get right with God before it's eternally too late. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Oh, that applies to us today too. He wrote it to Timothy, but it applies to us. We can learn from the Word of God, and we must hold to it. Hold to the pattern. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, one of our prison epistles. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We want to be at peace with God. We want to be right with God. Follow the plan. Follow the pattern. You know, we talked in our class this morning The Second Timothy was written, they believe, between 64 and 68 A.D. What happened in 70 A.D.? The destruction of Jerusalem. And it was terrible. There were faithful Christians that were living in Jerusalem. What did they do? They scattered. But where was the end result? What happened to the places they scattered to? They preached the Word. They followed the pattern. They shared the good news. What would happen if our building got destroyed? What would you do? Would you just sleep in? Would you find somewhere that follows the pattern, what would you do? We're going to get to that in a minute. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we have given to you. Wholeheartedly obey. They heard the teaching. They responded with appropriate behavior. You know, we'll often hear this, people that have done something before, they'll say, that's something I used to do. It's someone else's turn. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I used to be active, but I'm not active anymore. And I'm going to be blunt, and I say this out of love, but when I hear something like that, what I interpret that as is going to heaven is something that I used to want. When I was active, when I was ready to be a part of the congregation. But when I decided I didn't want to be anymore, I showed up and I punched my ticket. You know, we may not all have the energy to teach. Some of my little rascals take it out of you. But there are other things to do. There are other things to be active in. And if you don't have the energy to teach, find something you have the energy to do. To our younger people, find something that you are able to do. At no point can we reach a retirement age or reach a quota. I have taught X amount of time. I've given my part. I have served in this capacity for this many years. I no longer have to work. I'm interested in trains. Is anybody else interested in trains? If I were to get on a train and I were to get on here in Mount Pleasant and decided I wanted to go to Kansas City, that's where my brother lives, and I got on the train and was ready to go to Kansas City, but I got off in Oklahoma City, and I in Kansas City, I got off before the trip was done. We as Christians need to make sure that we're not getting off before our earthly trip is done. Not to stop a few places short. We need to always be finding something that we can do. Something I used to do. I used to be active. I used to do this. It's somebody else's turn to do this. Going to heaven is something that I used to want. But now, other people can do the work of the church. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 plays into this. This isn't me being mean or picking on anybody. This is a biblical principle. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Active, excited, working, involved. And when we just start going through the motions, God's not happy with that. God is not pleased. Matthew 24, verses 12 through 13, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Lawlessness can be considered missing the mark. Sin. Transgressing God's laws. We need to endure. If we can no longer do something, for whatever reason, find something else we can do. There is always something that can be done. Ask our elders, ask our deacons. There is always something that can be done. Romans 12:11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. One of the things that drives me, I'm going to talk about me. One of the things that drives me is our kids. What example am I being to them? Am I showing the beauty of a Christian life? That the work can be fun. That this is the best life to live. Or am I showing them that I have the ability to show up and show up to services? We all are an example to someone here. What example are you leaving? What example are you giving? We can't be slothful. Let's be zealous. Let's be excited. Let's be ready to serve the Lord. And that's what this Fishers of Men class is going to be, another opportunity to learn a way to evangelize. I'm going to take the class. I'm excited to learn a different way. And if people, if you have said, I just don't know what to say, this is your opportunity. Guess it was a good point. Real good point. If you say, I just don't know how, but you don't take opportunities to learn, you're lying to yourself. If you see opportunities to do something you can't do, and you decide purposefully not to grow, just tell yourself, I'm fine with what I'm doing. You don't have to sign up for this class. All I'm saying is, step out of your comfort zone. Be active. Don't be slothful. Find some way to grow continually. We have to do the right thing before it's too late. In class this morning, we referenced congregations that used to be in the hundreds and now have auditoriums that can seat 300 people and have 30 people that are showing up. Sometimes it's geographic, and other times it's the result of slothfulness. We have to do things the right way before it's too late. What we are doing right now is going to pay dividends later, is going to continue to strengthen us and strengthen those who are going to come after us. The work we are doing today will make us stronger for tomorrow. We'll look at Joshua and the sin of Achan. God was specific with what He told the Israelites to do pertaining to Jericho. And Achan didn't do it. Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, God charges them, "But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you've devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord." God was clear with His expectation. Do not do this. If you do this, the result isn't going to be good. We have hindsight. So what happened? Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." It was a cloak, some silver, a bar of gold. In the grand scheme of things, it wasn't much, but still it was disobedience. And that disobedience had to be rectified because God made it clear, do not do this. Achan's actions caused more problems than just on himself. Soldiers died at Ai, the next battle, and his family ended up dying too. In Joshua 7, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they've become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you." God said, get them out. Get these things out. We can see a similar vein when it comes to the work of a congregation in the Lord's church. We've got to get the sin out and get the bad habits out of our system, or ruin will come. Verse 13. "Get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you." And in verse 25, and Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. His behavior negatively affected the congregation of Israel. It negatively affected him. It negatively affected his family. We fool ourselves if we think that our sin only affects us. Of course, we will stand before God on the day of judgment, and we will answer for our sins, but my decisions, my disobedience, can bring ruin upon the innocent. Sin's effects go beyond the initial sinner. In the early 90s, there was a commercial that had an egg, and then they put an egg in a frying pan. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. And the one that hit home to me was they did the "This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs." And then "This is your family," and just shattered the plates that were in the dish holder on the sink. Started hitting things. "These are your friends." The damage that our sin can cause can affect those who are around us. When we decide not to follow the whole pattern, it affects the church. It affects the body. It affects everyone. If we decide to not do our part, that makes someone else have to do more work. And think about the example that leaves to our kids. There's always going to be someone else. We can't have that attitude. We're averaging, I think, 110. Some of the kids, Vince isn't doing much. We need to have our able-bodied Christians all doing something, all active in different ways. We are such a talented family with different strengths, with different interests. Let's utilize our uniqueness to bond together to make the most beautiful light for our community that people will be drawn to. Sin affects more than just us. The precious metals were to be added to the treasury of the Lord. We saw that in Joshua chapter 6. So we make a modern application. The precious souls who need salvation are to be added to the Lord's church. We need to always be looking, always be ready, be equipped to share the gospel effectively. If today someone came to you and said, "Why do you do what you do?" and you couldn't answer, make plans to either find an evangelism opportunity or find a way to learn, or be ready to come to Fishers of Men. But if you just don't care, keep doing what you're doing. I say that generally. We have a very active body here. I hope that this lesson is hitting hearts for those that are feeling like they could do more, or that they're not doing anything, or they've used some of the aforementioned excuses. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for the elders. Do it for God, because there are precious souls who are hanging in the balance. The gold and silver Achan stole was stolen from God Himself, and the time and effort we steal is stolen from God Himself. I'm a giant professional wrestling fan. It's awful. It's silly. It is. That's what I'm into. WrestleMania 32 is coming to Dallas next year. Dallas Cowboy Stadium. They're going to cram 100,000 weirdos like me into that arena. And you got to believe all the stars from yesterday are going to be there. Hulk Hogan, The Rock. Oh, I'd love to go. But I'm not forsaking the Lord's I'm not forsaking services to go watch wrestling. Personally, I'm not going to do that. We need to put our time and effort above our hobbies. Because if we're not, much like Achan, we are stealing from God. The future of this congregation lies on your efforts. If you are a baptized believer, the future of this congregation lies on you. We have to get out of our mindset that others will do the work. We should not pin all of this on our elders. I'm sure they spend many a sleepless night worried about the souls of the members shepherding the flock. We have good, active elders. Let's not do anything to dishearten them. Let's put forth effort that in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, North Jefferson will continue to be a staple in our community in sound doctrine. And that effort starts today. It started 16 years ago. It's going to continue to go, but we need everyone all in and committed to this work. We have to get away from the building mentality. We have to get away from the building mentality. We'll have activities away from the church building, or we'll have activities that aren't a designated service. And sometimes the mindset is, well, I don't have to go. It's not Sunday or Wednesday. I put in my Sunday and Wednesday. I already did that. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I did it. Checked off the list. You can ask Grady. It's all checked. My name has a check. Buy it. We've got to get away from that mentality. If there is an opportunity for you to grow, be it Tuesday morning, Thursday night, Friday night, if you want an extra study on Saturday or Sunday afternoon, we've got L2L today, please be involved with that. Do what you can to be involved more than just the building mentality. We as Christians are called to be so much more than pew sitters. Christ charged in Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do as I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Evangelism can be successful. We have to be committed to it. We see a similar sentiment in Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. James 2:20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? We can call ourselves Christians, but if we don't follow the pattern, we are Christians in name only. We are not Christians as God would have us to be. We are not His children. We are no different than the denominations that we say are wrong for missing the pattern, for missing the mark. If we are missing the mark, we stand condemned with them. Let's not be foolish. Let's be active. Let's be excited. Let's put our efforts together in many different opportunities, so that we can reach a diverse group of people, ages, races, backgrounds, socioeconomical status. There we go. That's a good word for that. We need to be reaching a widespread group of people. Let's not be foolish. Proverbs 12:11, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. There are all kinds of things that we can do, but if it's not towards furthering the kingdom, it is a worthless pursuit on the day of judgment. James 2:17, so all faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Showing up to services is not a work. Being a Christian, putting on Christ, doing the work of a Christian, reaching out, loving those who are around us. That will show our faith, that we practice what we preach. That we are obedient to the plan, that we love those who are around us. James 1:22 puts this point in a nutshell. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It doesn't matter how much we know if we're not sharing it with those who so desperately need it. We've got to follow the pattern. 1 John 2:3, and by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. James 4:17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We know what the right thing is to do. We know the right thing is to come and worship God together. We know the right thing is to study our Bible. We know the right thing is to share what we've learned. We know the right thing is to live what we have learned and what we teach. But if we don't do the right thing, it's sin. And what separates us from God? Sin does. Take every opportunity to grow toward God, be it Fishers of Men, be it Friday Night Light, be it Lads to Leaders, be it nursing home worship, be it wives class on Thursday, be it ladies Bible class on Tuesday. We start having a men's Bible study, be a men's Bible study. Do whatever it takes to grow, to equip yourself. Don't just keep the I'm there Sunday and Wednesday. Make Christianity your life. Romans 2:13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. So the conclusion of our lesson. Doing some of the pattern is not enough. Is it biblical we preach baptism for remission of sins? Yes. Is it biblical that we preach singing a cappella because we don't have authority for mechanical instruments of music? Yes. Is it biblical for us to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Yes, it's what we're called to do. But if we're neglecting the rest of the puzzle because it doesn't make us comfortable, we are no different than those who missed some of the points I just made. Christianity needs to consume us. We need to do things the right way before it's too late. Achan and his family suffered because he disobeyed. The mistakes that we make today, we are going to suffer for later. But the things that we do today can make us stronger for later as well. And get away from the church building Christianity. Don't look to this is the bare minimum. This is what I do. Look for every opportunity that you can grow. And if you have an idea for something that you think we could be doing to help other people grow, let us know. Do whatever it takes to be on fire for God. To have that fire in your bones that you can't let stay in. You know, if you've made some of the excuses we're talking about, it's out of my comfort zone, it's something I used to do, it's somebody else's turn, you don't have to come forward, but you can repent. I'm not picking on anybody. These are things that are said across the brotherhood. But if you need the prayers of the congregation to get your walk back right, to be the Christian you need to be, if you think your example has been harmed in some way, come forward. But if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, there's only one way to do it. God has done His part. We have to do ours. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And the key to our lesson today, remain faithful. I plea for our kids, for the future of this congregation, and for your soul, do whatever it takes to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.